time to test the mettle of man, but it's also time to say goodbye. Hey there, Evil Dead fans. Welcome back to the Ash vs. Evil Dead After Show here on AfterBuzz TV. Tonight we are talking about the series finale, Season 3, Episode 10, The Mettle of Man. Guys, we're going to be breaking down the episode, talking about a kaiju-sized Deadeye, and of course, saying goodbye to Ash Williams. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin!
I mean, the end of one thing is just the start of something new, right? That's what we're talking about today, and we're not at all sad or gonna cry in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, you referenced breaking down the episode. I think we're the ones that are gonna be breaking down.
Oh! Yeah.
This is breaking sad.
Let's just do an hour of weird puns. Yeah. That barely function as puns.
You guys go ahead and do that. Yeah. I'll just be making, like, pained groans over here and pretending that I'm really upset about the puns and not at all upset about saying goodbye to this show. So I'll use it to mask my pain. But anyway, hey there, Evil Dead fans. Welcome back to the Ash vs. Evil Dead After Show. Guys, we are here talking about the finale, and we've got a ton of stuff to break down. Let me introduce my fantastic panel. To my left, Lex Michael.
Hey, it's me. That's still me. I'm still Lex Michael. Look at me go.
To his left, Lucretia Lyon.
Yep, that's me. There is only one.
We want to say thank you guys for tuning in on a separate night. We needed a couple days to process.
For real.
Yeah, for real. I'm Megan Salinas. Guys, we are going to be keeping an eye on the hashtag ABTVEvilDead, as always. And Lucretia's got you guys who are watching live covered on the live chat.
Yeah, and thank you guys. We've got a lot of people in the chat tonight. I'll just quickly shout out some of you guys. ABK88, you have been a loyal chatter for the whole season, and thank you for sticking with us. And Christian Stolieski as well. XXSMC365XX, Leslie. And more. We'll start shouting you guys out as we go along. Because, again, thank you for joining us. And it really does mean a lot, because Ash means a lot to me.
Yeah, it means a lot that you guys are here to be with us as we talk about our feelings on the finale. And also just kind of on the series as a whole.
Yes.
So it's been a pleasure getting to talk to you guys about it. So, yeah, guys.
Well, so cool, obviously, talking to you guys. And also talking about it with you guys.
Aww. Yeah.
This has been a very great pleasure of mine every week, so thank you guys as well.
Steven in the booth agrees.
And Steven in the booth. Thanks, Steven in the booth, without whom there is no show.
Yeah. Absolutely true. Guys, if it weren't for Steven, we would just be yelling into the void every week. So thank you, Steven.
Thank you, guys.
Which is not to suggest that I don't also do that.
Oh, yeah, I do a lot of that.
Yeah, I just don't do it here.
Oh, no, because we decided to take a couple days, I was screaming into the void on Sunday.
There's 48 hours of straight screaming. I'm very tired.
It's exhausting work being devastated.
That was me.
That's the sound in Lucretia's heart right now.
I like that you're doing like a robot power.
It's Tom Cruise running.
Have you guys ever been watching something and just like, because you're in a theater or something along those lines, where it is just like internal screaming?
Yes.
I can't say that was my feeling while watching Ash vs. Evil Dead, though, because I'll be honest, my initial thoughts for this episode is that this is a perfect finale.
Yes.
And
yes.
I know we got robbed of another season, but at the same time, this is a perfectly fitting end.
Yeah, we was robbed, but
We was robbed.
That's from the Starsky and Hutch movie with Ben Stiller. That's a really fun movie. Again, I'm just going on tangents because I don't want to deal with my emotions. I deal with them like comedy.
Stop avoiding your feelings. It's okay. This is a safe space.
This is how the healing begins.
Yes. But yeah, it was a perfect ending, and that really is the thing, is like, yes, it would be great to get more, but if this is the end, it is my only friend.
Yeah. It really, though, it does, right? It feels like, am I bummed out that we're not gonna get Mad Ash Groovy Road? Yes, a little bit, of course. That sounds like something I would love to see, but it feels like we had the best of all possible scenarios. We got what I think is about the most on-brand Evil Dead ending possible.
I would actually argue that, because a lot of this feels like it comes full circle, because if you know anything about the history of the franchise, you know for a fact that the ending to Army of Darkness was not actually the ending that the creators intended.
Yes, exactly.
And that there is this alternate ending that we've spoken about at length here on this podcast. But for those of you who don't know, there's an alternate ending where Ash ended up in the future after he traveled back in time. He slept too long.
And just screams externally at the sky.
Because he couldn't count the drops.
No, because he's Ash.
Yeah.
But this ending, it felt like that, but the happy version
of that. Yes, the happy, triumphant version of that.
Yeah, you were talking about how we're robbed of seeing, the awesomeness that comes with that. But I would actually argue that, what you picture Ash doing
exactly.
in the future is actually probably far better than anything else that they could... That's probably why it's good to stop right now, because it's like what you think Ash does in the future to get back to his family in the past.
Right.
That is the best movie you could ask for in your head.
Yeah. It also does seem a little bit like that would be, especially if you had the robot lady sidekick the whole time, that would be a prohibitively expensive version of this show to make, I think. But I do feel like, much like the original intended ending of Army of Darkness, and much like the ending of Evil Dead 2 before it, we do have a bit of a pattern in the Evil Dead franchise of we have one storyline with one group of characters, we essentially tie that up, and then all of a sudden, not necessarily of his own volition, Ash, solo, is thrust into a completely new situation, ready to go off and have another adventure. So this felt just right to me.
Well, and that was actually what was set up by Bruce Campbell, Rob Tappert, and Sam Raimi, and Megan and I actually talked about this on my podcast last week, is that they were working on a season 4 up until they didn't get the renewal, and that was the plan, to take Ash into the future and see where, you know, so this was like, you know, they had an idea of a jumping off place even with this ending.
Yeah, there have been a lot of articles to come out ever since the announcement that season 4 would have been a post-apocalyptic story, which is awesome. And I will never stop wishing that we were able to get that. But in all honesty, again, if this is the goodbye that we get for this character, it's a wonderful goodbye.
Yes, absolutely.
Before we get into talking about how much this character has grown and changed over the years, guys, if you want to learn and grow and change in all areas of your life, we have a podcast for you.
Hey, speaking of the same segue we've been using all season, if you want to have fun, learn, and grow in all areas of your life, we do, in fact, have the podcast for you. It's called Conversations with Marie Menounos Podcast Edition. It's hosted by our AfterBuzz TV founder, and it drops every Friday on iTunes. Conversations with Marie Menounos features celebrity and influencer interviews, along with secrets and tips on how to be better in all aspects of life, from health and wellness to career, relationships, finances, and more. Let our Maria be the big sister you've always wanted. Just go to iTunes and subscribe to Conversations with Maria Menounos for free. Be sure to rate and comment, and when you do, let Maria know it was the folks at ABTV Ash vs. Evil Dead that sent you their Conversations with Maria Menounos Podcast Edition. Check it out.
Yeah. Guys, it really means a lot when you support the people who support us. We would not be here if it weren't for Steven, for sure.
Right, but none of us would be here
if it wasn't for Kevin and Maria, who provide us a platform. And guys, it's been an absolute pleasure getting to talk about Evil Dead every week, and we would not be able to do that if it weren't for them. So it means a lot when you guys go and support the people who support us. So
absolutely. And well worth checking out, because Maria's got a heck of a lot of knowledge on a heck of a lot of topics.
Also, just a good podcast.
Yeah. don't just take our word for it. Seriously, go check it out, subscribe, listen for yourself. It's well worth it.
Okay, so let's talk about the episode itself,
yes.
And we'll get to the implications for the future of the franchise later on in the show, but yeah, let's talk about the episode itself and talk about the various emotional beats. Let's talk about Brandy and Ash's relationship.
Yeah. So we're gonna start out with the biggest emotional beats that really hit me hard. I even wore less eye makeup because
we're gonna build in recovery
happen.
Time yeah, after okay. the fact.
Yeah, yeah, no, we'll do iTunes after this. It'll
yes,
be okay.
There we go. We can all breathe okay. a little.
Okay. Wait, no, that'll make us cry more. So Brandy and Ash, it's the relationship that's been developing all season. I feel like it really was fully developed In the last episode when he got her back, yes. And, you know, she sort of came into her own. And a lot of this episode focuses on them kind of fighting side by side and Ash getting to see her in action, because it's one thing for her to have her own Evil Dead movie all by herself. It's a different thing for her to fight side by side with Ash and match him in, as sort of like an equal.
In the terrible jokes department as well. Like when right, like when yes! they're when they make fun of the way Kelly looks, and then they high five, and it's like, good lord, there are two of them now.
Yeah, yeah. I think that was probably like the most endearing, but also like head smacking moment of like, oh god.
It's pretty cool to me. I don't know about you guys. Initially going into the season, I was a little bit skeptical about the Brandy character in general, because we talked, I think, last season and certainly in between about how, if I'm not mistaken, the initial plan in season two was to build towards a reveal that somehow Kelly was Ash's daughter.
Yeah. Yes.
And,
oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, and it was sort of set up in the ending, and they just changed the ending because the former showrunner had left, and it was set up for Kelly to, when they went back in time, Ash is having sex with her mother
and
the mom.
Yeah.
Like, it was all set up, and it was a little disappointing that that didn't pan out, but I really like Brandy.
That's exactly what I was going to say. It's like, it felt like that was the direction we were going in, and then suddenly we weren't. So I had an eyebrow raised going into this season, and very quickly, Brandy feels like an absolutely indispensable part of this ensemble.
And a lot of that is to do with Ariel Carver O'Neill, who I had the pleasure of interviewing, and she is just a lovely young girl. I mean, she taught me a fun Australian phrase. Are we here to fuck spiders? I was like, I'm using that all the time, because it's sort of like their version of like, duh, like, well, you know, what's going on? Are we here to fuck spiders or not? Like, you know? And it's just like her portrayal and the way that they just almost felt instantly like father and daughter. And two, it's like that moment when she talks him up to stand up and fight,
yeah.
And then he goes to smoke the shimp's bong, which, make that, by the way, I will pay good money for it. And then he's like, don't do drugs.
And she's like, you're a hypocrite. You are literally doing drugs as you're telling me not to do drugs.
But I do love that his very next line is, I don't want you picking up the bad habits of your father. Which is so goddamn sweet. Like, so goddamn sweet and genuine. And yes, it's hypocritical, but it's so heartwarmingly hypocritical. Look at you, you're doing it.
Yep, I know.
Yep, it's fine.
Well, and that was the thing.
It's heartwarming to see Ash care about something.
Oh, we haven't even talked about the necklace yet.
No!
And that's the thing, is Ash really tried to be a good dad, and that was not something I was expecting. And he still kept his Ash self, but, like, immediately when he found out she was his kid, there was this shift in him of, I need to be a dad. And he was being a dad the best way he knew how. And
he absolutely, like, stepped into that role absolutely perfectly. And that's 100% you attribute to Bruce Campbell and how great of an actor he is. Being able to switch this, to give this character who, upon like one viewing of like any of the movies, you would just assume is a superficial one note sort of guy.
Right.
But there's so much depth to him, and Bruce Campbell is a testament to that.
Right, and when you hear, or at least when I heard again, it's like, okay, Ash has a secret daughter, and now this season is going to be in large part about this relationship. I'm going, how do you do this in a way that doesn't feel like hacky and inorganic? And it's not, it's Bruce Campbell's performance, absolutely, and also Ariel Carver O'Neill.
Both of them,
I think
out of the park.
Yeah, I think wonderful. It's a testament to the writing as well, that it feels so organic. We get to big emotional moments between the two of them, and I'm not going, oh wow, we made a leap to this moment pretty quickly. I'm going, oh, this big moment we've been building very quietly. Like, all of the moments leading up to this moment have informed this one, and that can be tough to do when you have to essentially create a whole new character, a whole new storyline fairly last minute.
Especially when you have a character like a well-known character's daughter or son or
how often
sister
does that work out?
Or cousin, you know, it runs the risk of coming off as super fanficky.
Yes.
And I do not feel like that's what we got at all. I feel like the character of Brandy is Ash's daughter. And as funny as it would have been last season to get the sort of punchline of Kelly becoming Ash's daughter because of wibbly wobbly timey wimey, I much prefer allowing Kelly to be her own person.
Yeah.
And to have that sort of mutual respect without there necessarily being a familial relationship while also being a joke at her expense.
Right. Because that, right, that inevitably would have happened
that
at a certain point.
It would have been a joke. And it would have been a very funny joke.
Yes.
Bruce Campbell loved the joke. But what we got instead, I definitely believe, was the better option. So, Lex, you brought up the necklace.
Oh, yeah. This is about this is about when I started to cry.
Oh, yeah. This was the first moment where I teared up. And Renji90998 had the same sentiment. If he said the necklace belonged to his sister and then gave it to Brandy, I would have just teared, too. It's like, oh,
do you know what did it? Like, even more than if he had flat out told her in that scene, what really got me was when she says to him, like, right after that, it's like, it must have been so hard. Everything you went through and nobody believing you, and I really want to hear about it sometime.
Oh. Yeah, that was so, like, that just opened it up, because it was a very genuine moment. And I like Yankirk says, you know, Brandy even has Bruce Campbell's chin. Like, it was really good casting. I was like, yeah, they even look alike, because, and sort of the same eyes. I'm like, aw.
Yeah, I feel like there's no doubt in anyone's mind by the time this season is done. Yes, she is her father's daughter. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So talking about the necklace, and talking about how Ash appears in many of the incarnations of this franchise, Ash appears a superficial character.
Yes.
He did something in Evil Dead 2 that no other character has done before or since, and that's stop being a deadite because of the power of love.
Yes.
And the fact that he keeps the necklace as a reminder of that moment that he's carried with him through time and space, all the way through the future, even as he's having meaningless sex and you know, doing all this other stuff to, like, drive down the pain. He keeps that necklace as a reminder of the love that saved him.
Well, and I think
I'm gonna start crying right now. Shit.
Yeah, I know. And this is about me to try to make. No, damn it, this is too personal. I might start crying. Whatever. But that's where I relate to Ash. Is like, he really was dealing with this stuff, and that's why he did a lot of these things. Mm-hmm. And it sort of explains of, like, he was always making jokes or, like, you know, being, you know, overly sexual or gross because he's not wanting to deal with the fact that everyone he's ever loved and to this point has died.
Yep.
Yeah. And even with a lot of, like, the casual racism or everything, where we
we
go and we're like, Ash, how do you say something like that? And it sounds so incredibly tone deaf. But the fact of the matter is that he is doing a lot of, like,
yeah,
you know,
he's like, no,
hands over his ears going, yeah, la, 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 la. So, of course, the man is tone deaf when it comes to a lot of those social nuances that have developed over the years.
And it's not like he's really gotten an opportunity to have much of a normal life in decades, too. I don't know how much social practice he really gets.
Yeah, exactly. And even though we know from the start of this show that, you know, he read the Necronomicon and that's what, like, kickstarted all of this, from the ending of Army of Darkness, we can assume that a deadite could show up at his life at any point in time.
Right.
So, of course, he's always getting stoned so he can freaking sleep at night.
Yep.
I mean, that's why I get stoned, because I'm always worried about deadites, and I gotta sleep at night.
I can't imagine the sort of anxiety that comes with knowing that literally you could be having a conversation at any given moment at work, at the grocery store, you know, at the bar. You could be having a conversation with anyone at any given moment, and they could turn into a demon and try to murder you.
I mean, you really, you don't have to leap that far to turn that into a metaphor for various types of mental illness, too. So, like, I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's an oddly relatable, yeah, it's one of those things that adds that extra layer dimension to Ash.
And it so does track psychologically.
And again, just knowing that he kept this necklace as a reminder of, like, sort of an anchor to, like, just sort of keep him sane through all of that is incredibly sweet. I don't know if he ever gave it that much thought, but, you know, because how much thought does he get put into anything?
But he's always crazy intuitive, right? And, like, even if he didn't think about it before, the second he handed it over, it just felt write to him. Like, it's a way, it's the show further letting us know, like, I'm gonna make myself emotional, but like, Brandy is his heart now.
Yeah.
Like, it's really, so like, it's a beautiful, beautiful moment. Well, in a show where, like, you're almost not, you're not always fully prepared for these beautiful moments.
And that's one thing I'll say this season really gave us is, you know, it's not like every iteration of Evil Dead has not been awesome since then, but this season really gave us those emotional beats that we didn't always have before.
Yeah.
It was just meant to be fun.
I remember when the show was announced that it had been canceled, I had been reading some of the various news outlets talking about how this season was kind of muddling, and I fully disagreed with that assessment. I was like, how dare you? Well, you're obviously not watching the same show.
Which of these news outlets? Because then I will destroy...
Fight all of them.
Well, no, I don't do that. Let's be clear. I'm not like some people, and I don't destroy them outwardly. I am more like, you know... I'm more calculating like Dexter. That's why my mom calls me that. But yeah, these are news outlets I will never read because they're garbage.
In my head, it's like the ending of Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back where you just fly all over the country being like, excuse me, did you write Ash vs. Evil Dead is a muddled show now? Yeah. Do you just pull him over the counter and beat him?
If only I had the money from Bluntman and Chronic to do this. How many people want to... I can quote that movie from...
I'm not going to name any names. I'm not going to put any outlets on blast. I'm just saying I disagree with the assessment that season three was lacking in any way.
I agree. I totally understand that it feels a bit different. And you do have to make a slight pivot in your... Or I had to make a slight pivot in my brain because it doesn't feel like a different show, but it feels like they're taking a different approach to the show than they had previously. And if you're not willing or able to jump on board with that, then I can see maybe being a little bit resistant to it. But if you are, yeah, I thought this worked real well.
I kind of feel like Evil Dead fans should sort of be like... used to having to roll with the punches with the retcons and with the numerous retcons that we've had. I feel like you should be ready for anything.
Well, and this is why I'll say, and it brings up a good point I heard on Adam Carolla's podcast, is like, if you care, you're going to do the best job. And I feel like a lot of times with these news outlets, the reviewers don't care about the thing, so they're fully willing and able to shit on the thing. And it's just like, that's not cool.
It's like, I'm objective entertainment reporter.
And two, it's like, if you are that guy,
I'm not gonna pretend like I haven't done it.
Yeah, it's like, if you are that guy, don't be reviewing this show. Don't be reviewing Super Troopers 2. Like, I'm sorry, this is not for you.
Not
everything is for you, and I could get into a whole thing on that.
Oh, no, we could both go. But, you know what I mean? Like, we could both go on that exact same thing.
But
that's not this show.
I know, I'm like, oh. Before we move on, I do want to talk to you guys really quickly about iTunes. Folks, thank you so much to everybody who's gone to iTunes to rate, subscribe, leave a comment. We love hearing from you, and it is the best way to let our aforementioned producers know that you guys liked the show that we're putting on. And it would really mean a lot. I know that, like, we're not doing this show after this, but I still am going to be checking the iTunes feed, so it would really mean a lot if you guys continue to comment on your Evil Dead love. And guys, this is unfortunately the last time we can give a shout-out, but know that we'll be reading your comments in our hearts.
And let's just say, this is the last time we can give a shout-out on this show, and not to, like, shamelessly plug my show, but if we do find things later, I mean, I do my own horror podcast, and I'll be happy to, you know, because I know that iTunes sometimes has a delay, so if you had done this, I just want to make sure you guys get your voices heard.
Like, we all have other things going on, so I feel like, we'll find you if you say nice stuff. I'll shout you out to my neighbors. I don't give a shit. I'll just be like, hey, did you see what this nice person said about me? Look. And I'll read them your name and your comment, and I'll spread the joy that
way. I'll change my screaming into the void, into complimenting the void. Like, look at these nice compliments, void.
I love it all!
Yeah, so we do have one last comment. It's from XCM Magic Man. I like that name. Is that named after my Legion of Doom joke with Damian Dark and Malcolm Merlyn on Legends of Tomorrow? I used to call them the Magic Men. I like that.
I feel like the answer should be yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's loved every episode of AfterBuzz TV's Ash vs. Evil Dead. 5 stars. Since season 1, I would watch every single episode of AfterBuzz TV after each episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead. I'm absolutely heartbroken that the show was canceled. I would always look forward to each new episode, as well as every new podcast that AfterBuzz TV would upload afterwards. Lucretia had the most clever puns. That's weird reading that as myself. Lex Michael was incredibly funny, and Megan had the most adorable laugh. The three were obviously huge fans, and listening to their insightful thoughts and predictions about the show was always a fun time. I will miss this trio just as much as I miss the trio on Ash vs. Evil Dead. Seriously, I love these guys.
You're the best.
That's
thank you.
That's incredibly nice, XCM Magic Man. Thanks. Yeah. Legitimately, that's incredibly sweet, and that means a lot.
It does, especially as we're saying goodbye. So, yeah, Ghost Beaters for life, Ben. Thank you so much. All right, speaking of the Ghost Beaters, let's talk about Pablo and Kelly, because I do feel like if there's anything that's missing from this finale, it is actually getting to see Pablo in the Rift.
We do, yeah. Right? It feels like everybody gets to have a big character moment of involvement, but we don't see Pablo's on screen.
I feel like it was probably cut for time.
Yeah.
I have no doubt that they absolutely gave him his moment. They might have even had like another romantic moment while they're running to get back to the portal. Who knows? But like, I feel like it was probably cut for time if it existed.
Well, my favorite moment, like, because even though that was probably cut for time, was whenever he goes to, you know, he's really upset because she's not awaking yet, and like that to me was his moment.
That's true.
And I was just like, wow,
Ray killed it.
Yeah,
oh my gosh.
He was
absolutely
so good.
And then seriously, the moment where she wakes up and they kiss, and like they just look at each other, and Kelly's like, hi. Like, I swear to God, I got emotional again.
And then that's why I was getting emotional. But that's why I was so glad when she goes, oh my God, I look like Keith Richards. And Brandy goes, I'd say Iggy Pop. And then I tweeted Dana and I said, you missed Alice Cooper. And that's who I picked. She laughed.
It was, though. It saved us all from, I think, just sobbing in that moment, that we undercut it immediately with, oh, good God.
Oh, Kelly, don't be upset. You've been mostly dead all day.
Yeah, you're good. You, all things considered, you look great.
I did love how, like, you know, Ash has been carrying around her body. That was really sweet. And then Pablo just, like, puts her on the dolly and is, like, carting her around. I'm like, this is adorable. Me and my brother used to play on the dolly's play Frankenstein. So I was like, oh, this is just like playing Frankenstein with the dolly.
Hang on, wait. So would one of you just lie completely prone on the on the dolly and then would get pushed around?
We were poor, okay?
But if anything, that's closer to Hannibal Lecter than Frankenstein.
Yeah, like, I don't know why we would go with Frankenstein, but it's just like, and then you gotta get up and go.
That's why.
Yeah,
so you can add that element.
Would the one pushing the dolly then just start screaming, it's a lie!
Yeah.
That's really the harder job. Because like, we were come running.
You gotta sell it. Oh, that's fantastic. Even though Kelly's been mostly dead up until this point, I love how quickly she jumps back into action. And in like a believable way too, because like at one moment she's being dragged out of the building so that they can make their escape. And then like 2 seconds later, she's firing a machine gun and then, like, helping other people escape. And that says so much about, like, the strength of the character. That didn't at all feel like an inconsistency to me.
Right.
Just, like, I was like, dang, girl, already back in it.
Right, it's like, you were literally dead a second ago. And already, it's like, she assesses the situation. She sees a soldier fall in front of her, doesn't hesitate, immediately goes for the gun, obliterates Deadite's faces, and then, yeah, the big thing for me where I went, oh, that's really cool, is when she started helping wounded people off of that field.
Yeah, that was very much Kelly, and that's why, you know, as we'll talk later about what Ash said to her was so fitting, and it really was it, and that's why I love, but there was also this sort of hesitation and clearly, like, she's been dead and freaking out moment when she's using the chainsaw. Dana played so many emotions in that one little scene. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, you know, it's one thing for a character who feels like they have nothing left to lose to go in guns blazing. It's a completely different thing when a character really fully understands the repercussions of death and knows that there's a weird, like, potentially, I don't think everybody who gets killed in Deadite-related incidents goes to the little pocket dimension of the Rift. But the idea that you could even end up in a place where a smoky, shadowy monster just consumes you. Like,
how does that not completely reframe your experience of life on Earth?
It absolutely does.
Right? really quick sidebar. I adored the moment when Kelly first wakes up and she looks at Ash and she goes, "I'm sorry, Ash. I thought I could take Ruby by myself. I thought I could be like you. I was wrong." And Ash is like, "Yep. Yep. You sure were." And it just moves on completely.
I do love, though, because, one of the only things that I kind of wish had been said, as Ash is making his goodbye, and this is jumping ahead a little bit, but I kind of wish the only, like, nitpick of a complaint that I have is, like, I would have liked for him to have said, "Kelly, you don't have to be me. You can be better.
Yeah.
You are better." Here's the thing, though. He doesn't need to say it because it's just a fact.
We all know it.
I also feel, though, like it's a little bit implied because Ash is not a leader. I don't think he'll take the title Hefe, but I don't think Ash necessarily sees himself as awesome. Yeah. I don't think he necessarily ever saw himself as a leader. And he says in the same scene, he tells Brandy, "I always ran from my fights," but he tells Kelly, "You are the strong, powerful leader that people need." I feel like the implication there is you're totally better than
I am. Yeah, I guess maybe Ash couldn't say.
Right, his ego won't allow him to get it out.
That would be, say.
Yeah, it's like, that would be too much for Ash. We know. Like, we've had so much growth. Let's give him this one.
I'm about to throw down my life for you people, but I'm not going to actually verbally say you're better than me. We all know you're better than me.
Am I not making my point clearly enough? Yeah. Here I go. Did you see this tank? Come on.
I love that we got the tank. I was like, that was all left in the Ash armory that I needed to see him use was a tank.
Absolutely.
And by the way, I've been like dancing around my optimistic hope for a version of this all season, but it's global. We actually got World War Ash. We only really saw the epicenter, but it happened.
Absolutely. The military got involved. Yeah. As martial law was declared. I will say, though, they were getting ready to nuke the kaiju deadite. And as Pablo points out, that's only going to make things worse. But they're all going like, "Okay, we're evacuating the area. Go ahead and hop on into the van." I'm not a scientist. What's the blast radius of a nuclear bomb? How fast are those trucks? And also, what's the fallout radius from a nuclear bomb?
My grandpa, like, fought in World War II. I mean, and, you know, he was part of the people dropping on Hiroshima and did get cancer from that. That's what I'll say is just, like, yeah, there's a lot of implications for that. And two, like, you know, that's the reason we got Godzilla people was, you know, Japan dealing with the fallout of, like, their feelings and what could have potentially happened. I mean, and that's what I'll say is that was sort of a metaphor for...
It absolutely is.
You mean the movie Godzilla. You're not implying that there's a real Godzilla we got him because of the nuclear fallout.
Yeah,
it took me a second.
Yeah, I was like, no, I'm saying like, the movie is
like,
actually
what
a direct
don't
metaphor.
I know?
Yeah.
Lex, of course... Yeah. We didn't get Godzilla from a nuclear explosion. Yeah. He's been frozen in ice since prehistoric times.
He's the reptilian Captain America.
Don't be stupid, Lex. Stop being stupid.
Yeah, you didn't know Godzilla's a real thing?
No, I will say, as much as I enjoyed the 2014 Godzilla movie, one of the moments that took me out of it a little bit was like, that bomb is exploding over there. I feel like you're too close.
Yeah,
they're all dead now.
Yeah.
Like, so that was my concern when they're calling in a nuclear strike on this thing.
But we don't know, right? Like, I don't know how you guys read it, but when Ash, at the very end, when he asks, "Where's my daughter?" and like, sexy robot lady is like, "I'll explain on the way." I read that as, like, they're not necessarily dead.
No.
That's maybe the biggest bummer for me that we're not going to get to see it is I want to know where Brandy and Pablo and Kelly ended up in this new world order.
Well, because, too, like, a lot of people are like, oh, they could be dead right now. And I'm like, we don't know how far into the future. And just so people know, I mean, we're not that far off from robots. I mean, we kind of have some now.
And here's the thing is that Ash... If you look at the theatrical ending of Army of Darkness, there is an implication that Ash had another adventure before he was able to get back to Esmar in his own time. Just the look on his face, it very much conveys there's another story there. And if you take the original ending as canon, then he went into the future and had to find a way back.
Right.
So he's kind of done this before. So if that, and as we saw in season two, he can time travel. And so that is something that we can do in this show, right? Because the show was amazing.
I guess that's how you avoid that season being prohibitively expensive, is you spend about 2 hours in the future and then find a way back.
Well, here's the thing, is that either our motley crew in the past could find a way to get to the future, or they could continue working from the present and just send him clues that he can, like, follow, like, breadcrumbs so that he could eventually find his way back home.
Yeah, and I just really love the creativity here of the chat that I'd like to mention. All the Ash versus, like, films they're coming up with, even though Bruce has said this is it. But I feel like some of these titles that you guys, you know, are giving out here may pull him out of retirement. Yan Kirk says Ash versus Godzilla. Ghost 8386 says Ash versus Godzilla versus King Kong.
Yes.
I like... Yan Kirk, Ash versus Godzilla versus Kandar the Destroyer. Or Ringy 90998 says Ash versus Jason.
I still want it.
That actually almost happened. Ash versus Freddy versus Jason, like, was going to be the sequel to Freddy versus Jason.
The comic did happen.
Yeah. And Ghost 8386 again with Ash versus Deadpool. I feel like they're at least on the same character wavelength.
I feel like that would be overwhelming.
Yeah.
I feel like I wouldn't know where to put that
in
my brain. Yeah.
Narcissism and sass.
It does, though. I feel like some version of Ashific Rim is my new Freddy versus Jason versus Ash. It's this thing that I just assume will never happen, but will live on in my dreams forever.
Yep. And I like ABK88 just says in space. I was like, that's just yes ending all of this.
Yes.
So any of these movies all need to have happen in space.
Absolutely. Yep. So while we're on that topic, what do we want to see from Evil Dead, the franchise, in the future? Because this show was phenomenal, and even though it's hard to say goodbye to Bruce, I still feel like there's a lot of room to still play in both this canonical universe and also the other one that they set up back in 2013.
Yeah. That would be my thing, right? It's like, if Evil Dead is going to somehow... Because, look, we have precedence for a version of Evil Dead that does not include Ash. Well, he says groovy at the end of the credits, but, like, he's not in the movie.
Oh, so good.
It's like my heart. I was like,
totally best post credit scene.
Yeah. Marvel, take note. Just more of just one shot of characters saying one word, and then that's it. Doesn't have to mean anything.
Or Jeff Goldblum dancing. That's one time that Marvel had it right for sure. Yeah.
Always more Goldblum dancing.
Yes.
But what my words? Right. Okay. So if there is precedence for it, so there is an argument that says we could move forward with an iteration that doesn't include Ash. So for me, it would be like total wish fulfillment, best of all possible scenarios. Do a Ghost Beaters story that includes Brandy that also includes Mia.
I concur with that assessment. That is like my dream.
We literally said the same thing on my podcast last week. I love that you're on the same page.
Yeah.
I think that we need to do this with you included.
Because I feel like that's the only thing now that if we're not going to get a whole post-apocalyptic story, that's the one like major stone that I'm like, how can we leave this unturned?
Yeah, I have no doubt that Ash will eventually make it back to his family. But also the image of him sort of riding off into the sunset is a beautiful one.
Yes.
And I kind of don't want to touch it.
Exactly. I'm so. Like, look, if we know he's exiting the role, right? Like that is a perfect, like Ash, he said, right, going into the finale, he's like, Ash is going to get an ending where there's going to be a couple of moments where you'll be like, attaboy, Ash. And we got those moments and he still gets to write. He makes a self-sacrificial gesture and he still, maybe because he really becomes the savior he was always destined to be, he does get to ride off into the sunset and he looks like he's having a hell of a time doing it with his, like, his Bane coat and everything. Yeah.
And bringing up that moment, like ABK88 brought up earlier, I just thought it was a good comment, so I wanted to go back to it. I almost thought after he gave her the necklace, he would die, and it really did keep him alive. And I kind of expected that too when, you know, all intents and purposes, we had heard this is an ending. But too, as we know, this is a show where people get brought back to life, so it could have gone another way. But I was kind of glad that they gave the original Army of Darkness ending instead. But that could have happened.
He gets to grow and finally becomes a fully realized, not only person, but hero.
Right.
And he finally does the one thing that he has not done this entire franchise, and that's doing something for the sake of someone else.
Yes.
Yeah. And that, you know, we got that when he hopped into the rift, and we're getting that here. He has people he worth dying for.
Right.
And then he goes on to kill a giant kaiju-sized deadite with a tank. And then he gets to ride off into the sunset in the future. I don't know how you make a better finale.
Right. No. Go.
I was just going to say, no, you don't. As far as this franchise goes, in my mind, we got everything we wanted, and then there is still room for more, even though Bruce is retiring. I do like our art master Austin Prophet's joke about Kelly should get a spinoff called Cadet Kelly. Yeah, it's a Disney movie starring Christy Carlson Romano and Hilary Duff.
Oh my God, I would watch the shit out of
it. It'd be funny, though.
And it's just Dana and a ton of guns.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would absolutely watch that. I would also really love... I love seeing the development that Pablo got, and as Ash points out in this episode, he's basically the Kane of the Evil Dead universe.
Yes, and I love how they're like, God, Brandy, professional wrestling. Like, how do you not know that?
Come on, get with the times.
I do. I feel like we gotta acknowledge maybe one of the most harrowing deaths in all of Evil Dead, Pablito's Fish and Chips.
Yeah.
Yes. R.I.P.
This poor little cart. There it goes.
And I love how Ash just goes, sorry, Pablo. Like, with no sincerity whatsoever.
Well, have you seen that thing? You know how it is. Yeah. also, I mean, yes, and circling back, I love that Ash really did get to have the best of all possible scenarios. He gets to sacrifice himself for the people he loves and not die, which is great. Also, shout out to the Knights of Samaria for finally doing something.
Yeah. Yeah. Way to actually contribute instead of just getting yourselves killed over and over and over again.
Yeah, where were you guys while everyone else was dying?
Why'd you send Dalton? Dalton died 3 times.
But, dude, he kept coming back, and he was pretty cool. Love Dalton.
I would actually not be surprised if that asshole crawled his way out of the rift because he's like, no, I have a duty to serve.
In our hypothetical either Evil Dead 4 or Evil Dead Reboot 2 or Season 4, like, undead Dalton, like, semi-deadite Dalton has to rejoin them, like a deadite that's joining the team.
Or a ghost.
Well, I almost wanted, like, the robot to be Dalton and, like, different, like, with his parts missing.
Guys.
And he's like, it's just a flesh wound.
Guys, they put Dalton's soul in a robot body, and that way, when he inevitably keeps dying, that's okay. We just have to fix the robot.
Or we just download him into a new one, I guess.
Yeah.
That is though, right? Like, he did die 3 times. Most people only die once.
Yeah.
He died 3 times, so maybe that's why they sent Dalton.
He was an overachiever. In
Yeah, we're pretty sure this dude's got at least 3 deaths in him, so he can go.
Way to go, Knights of Sumeria.
Yeah.
He was useful. Oh, man, poor Zoe. And also her compatriots, whose names I've already forgotten.
Yeah, they weren't important.
They weren't.
Imagine just a final indignity.
I'm sorry. But yeah, how great would it be if, like, for the future of the franchise, we follow the Ghost Beaters and they either team up with the Knights of Sumeria or are at odds with the Knights of Sumeria because the Knights of Sumeria actively kidnapped Ash.
Right.
They saved him, quote unquote. They kind of kidnapped him.
A little bit. He didn't ask to go in that box.
No.
Although you could maybe argue, and this is headcanon, but maybe he needed to go into the little box to stay alive.
Yeah, maybe.
That tank crashed pretty hard, and then a giant kaiju head fell on it.
I mean, they could have been resuscitating him, to their credit. To their very limited
credit. They constantly have some agenda going, and we'd all save a lot of time and stress if they just let people know what it was.
They actually gave people proper training tutorials.
Yeah, no kid. It's like, even when we know what your plan is, you're sending all of your, like, C-Squad in to do it.
You sent the interns, man.
Yeah, those Knights of Sumerian, too. It's like, I don't know about you guys, but, like, did you feel like maybe Ash could have had the Kill Bill treatment when he was in the coma? They might have been a little handsy.
Oh, jeez. Oh, that's dark.
Ugh. Yeah, those Knights of Sumeria. Like, ooh. I don't know about these people. We don't really know them. Dalton was cool, but...
they're a weird ancient sex cult.
Ugh.
Yep.
Yeah. It's like they were on Smallville or something.
Oh, jeez.
My brain went there, too, and I wasn't sure how to, like, make that jump.
I'm just gonna say it.
Yep.
Let's be clear. It wasn't a man on that show, because they're delightful, the ones I've met. I was like, if you haven't read the news, get that joke,
but let's
be clear.
It wasn't Michael Rosenbaum.
That was what I was getting at. He is innocent.
On that lovely note, we are running a little short on time. Final thoughts and sentiments on this series as a whole in this finale.
Who goes first? You go first?
I guess so, because I will say, thank you, stars. And I know a lot of people are like angry with them, but we really did get 15 more hours of Ash vs. Evil Dead because of them. And they allowed it to end as it should. And that's something that a lot of networks wouldn't have done. And they would have pulled the rug, you know, and not sort of had that idea in the mind where they weren't able to wrap it up as they thought. So, yeah, I just say thank you. I mean, and as sad as I am to see Bruce go as Ash, you know how many times Ozzy has said he was retired? I have been to three different This Is the End shows. So guess what? Ash, you're just like Ozzy. You're coming back.
Yeah. I second all of that. Real sad to see it go. Real glad we got it. One of the most consistently fun and unpredictable shows on TV. I've said it before. We watch a lot of stuff. And the more stuff you watch, the more you become a little bit dulled out by all of the consistent tropes. And it makes it really easy to get out ahead of the show you're watching. And it was impossible week to week to know where this show was going. I predict very, very big things from all of the additional cast members. And yeah, it felt like a gift. It felt like, it felt like such a gift. The fact that the entire run of the series felt a little bit like borrowed time, I'm okay with. I'm glad we got it. I'm glad we finally got to see Ash ride off into the sunset. And yeah, I'm going to go back and be revisiting the show for a long time.
I just want to point out, I love you, Art Master Austin Prophet. It says, I wish we could have gotten an Ash versus Scooby-Doo. That would have been awesome. But you know what? It takes 13 seasons to get there. I'm sorry.
I feel like Ash and Shaggy would be like simpatico. It'd be great. I've had my complaints about this show here or there. I've made it no secret that I don't appreciate the revolving door of women of color.
Yes.
But that being said, like, that is a tiny aspect of what is otherwise a bombastically awesome show. And it has been from beginning to end. The fact that the original creators came back to make this happen says so much because people cared. And when people care about the work that you're doing, you end up caring, and that gets reflected in what you do. And there was never a moment in this show where I felt like people didn't care.
Absolutely.
As they were working
yes.
on it.
You could feel the love very much so.
Yeah, it was a labor of love for
tonight.
It was a labor of love for the people who loved this franchise, and you could feel that from beginning to end. And I concur with you guys. I feel like there's nothing but good things for everybody who was involved with this show in the future. And so, yeah. Thank you to Stars for giving us this show, and thank you also to Stars just on a personal level of being so incredibly gracious
for 3 years. Yeah.
For 3 years to us and to our studio. Thank you so much to all of the actors and the special effects crew, people who took time out of their days to come onto our show and listen to our crazy theories and to listen to us scream at them about how much we love Evil Dead.
And not for nothing, continuing to do so every year. These are busy folks, continuing to take time out of their schedules to come back and talk about the show with us and share their experiences and their love with us and with you guys. Like, yes, Stars, thank you so much. That did mean a lot.
Yeah, and again, just sort of reiterating that, it was great to be able to share this for 3 seasons with you guys and with you guys in the chat. Why don't I just start shouting out everybody's name? Artmaster Austin Prophet, Ghost 8386, ABK88. Let's see. Yan Kirk, Christian Stoleski, Leslie, Ringy 90998. Let's see. I know I was like, there's a few more. OCD Geek. I just want to make sure I get everybody who's been, you know, in the chat tonight.
Yeah, because seriously, like, guys, without you, there's no show too. Without you guys, we're just sitting in a room talking to each other.
Which is fun. But the fact that you guys have all been a part of it has made this feel really special. And also, thank you to everybody who's ever been a part of this show, even if you couldn't be anymore. You know, thank you to Elena and to Emma, you know, our fallen comrades. congrats ourselves. It's been an absolute pleasure. And again, thank you to you, Lex, and Lucretia for just
Let's not let the show end without shouting out Megan. Thank you so much for being the greatest lead host that this panel could have ever wanted or needed. You are the hero Gotham deserves.
Yeah, you have been the lead since the beginning, and we have faithfully followed your lead.
Well, it's been my pleasure. Anytime getting to talk about Evil Dead or Ash, it's always, I don't know, it's better than anything I could ask for. Anyway, we're just rambling at this point, so thank you.
Before we all start weeping,
Before we all just start ugly crying here in the studio, thank you to everybody who's watching. Thank you to everybody who's been watching since the beginning. We love you all. You're all amazing. Lucretia, where can people go if they want to keep up with you?
You guys can always find me at LACRETIALYON anywhere on the internet, since there is only one. And if you want a little bit of positivity after this, I have a podcast called Mrs. Brightside. Today on there, I had Joel Monique, and new episodes are every Tuesday. That's on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. And then I have another horror show. If you want to keep talking about Ash, there is another platform I allow you to do that. It's called The Red Room. It's your horror news source. It's on all those platforms as well as YouTube. So we do have a visual component with that. And again, just thank you guys so much. I think I've said it all.
Yeah, I second that. Yeah. Again, thank you guys so much for sticking with us for 3 years. I am still, after an hour, Lex Michael. You can find me all over social media at TheLexMichael, and I also do a podcast with Tari J. Miller. It is called Missing Out. It's about art, culture, media, experiences, how these things shape the people that we become and why they resonate with us the way that they do. It's the retrospective that's introspective. This is a big week. In honor of the release of Avengers Infinity War, we got a whole bunch of show this week. We're talking about the entire MCU in two parts. Yesterday, we dropped a big episode on Phases 1 and 2. Today, Tuesday, we're dropping a big episode on Phase 3 and Avengers Infinity War. Go check that out. Missing Out Mondays typically drop Mondays. That's a little bite-sized episodes about what we've been digging in the past week. Main episodes drop every Tuesday. Find them wherever you can find podcasts. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean. There are more. We're on them. You can send us audio messages through Anchor and we'll shout them out on the show, and follow us on Twitter at Missing Outcast. Guys, it has been a privilege to be here. I will catch you on the flip-flop.
I'm Megan Salinas. You guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at TheMenguin. That's TheMenguin. I also do my own horror thing on YouTube. You can follow that on Instagram and Twitter at Silver_Screams. I don't think I'll be posting anything about Ash, because it would just be tears at this point. Again, thank you to the publicists at Stars. Thank you so much to Kevin and Maria, who, again, have allowed us to be here. Thank you to our tireless engineers for all of your hard work.
Thank you, Steve.
You guys are amazing, and you're the reason why we're here. And thank you to everybody watching. We love you all. We will see you in the future. Bye, everyone.
I see what you did. It's so good.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Hail to the king, baby.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.